Hello, welcome into another episode of the Patriots Podcast. I'm Sean, he's JJ.
Hello.
We are here to do a little bit of a draft preview. I know we've touched on this a couple times, but this is our draft preview episode. But real quick beforehand, there have been, it's just nonstop Patriot news. There's just always something. And so we heard so much talk this offseason about Gronkowski. Is he going to play? Is he not going to play? The new one was, is Brady going to play?
Yeah,
Brady hasn't confirmed anything. Dumbest story in recent history. Yeah. But he did confirm through his agent or something that he's going to come back, and the story hasn't changed.
Donnie came out and he was like, Brady has never changed his tune about playing, you know, into his mid-40s for several more seasons, playing into a new contract if it comes to that, and da-da-da. He's never been, you know, that's never changed. His tune's never changed. And, you know, then Donnie was further, and this was with ESPN, and who dropped the story. So obviously Brady was like, yo, Don, can you go fucking take care of this nonsense? Like, and then they asked him some more questions. But, oh, well, is his contract on his mind? And, yeah, I mean, obviously he's got a year left.
Two years? 2 years, 2018, 2019.
Okay, yeah, 2 years left. I mean, you know, he's probably, and Donnie put it, simply stated, of course it's on his mind. It's on every player's mind. Every GM will tell you that. Now, some people could say, take that as, you know, oh, that's a factor in the offseason. And some people could be like, well, he's a player in the National Football League. He's going to think about money, just like all of us. So
it might not even just be money. It might be job security.
Job security. The only thing, I mean, people are speculating he wants a new contract to put a clause in there where he can get Guerrero access to just at least him.
Oh, that's a good one.
You know, maybe that's the reason, if there's an angle here at all, maybe that's the angle. It's obviously, we have no idea. It's all speculation. But, I mean, anyways, Brady's practicing. Brady's playing. They've been saying that Brady's playing or practicing even harder than normal. So
Training. Because he didn't show up.
Training. Well,
off-season workout, voluntary.
Whatever. Regardless of how you want to put it, yeah.
Yeah, I heard, I don't know if I can, how well you can confirm this, but this is the closest Brady's been to the end of his contract. I guess every time they get within 2 years of the end of his deal, they'll do an extension.
I don't know about that.
I don't know about that either.
I feel like the last one got down, or one of them got down to like a year, and then they made an extension, and then like a year later they made another extension.
They've updated it a few times. Where they give you more signing bonus, guaranteed money, that type of stuff.
The guy's also going to be 43 or something, 44 when it comes. I mean,
he will be going the season following the end of his contract, which will be 2020. He would be 43.
Okay, so
you got to wonder. I don't know if the Patriots want to extend his contract beyond this. It's not going to be a 1 year extension, although it could be. Actually,
I mean, I don't know. That's a conversation that only Brady can have. Yeah, it's like, Jesus Christ. I mean, what are we even talking about here?
I know. Not important for our purpose.
Contract negotiations with a 43-year-old quarterback 2 years away. It's like, that's never happened before.
Yeah, we'll deal with that
and
time.
As, you know, I was listening to Zolak a little bit, and he had a really good point, too. He's like, you know, if you look at these older quarterbacks, late 30s, you know, these guys that have been great forever, and you know, they kind of dictate what's going to happen, you know, like the Brett Favre thing. Like everyone was waiting at his doorstep, waiting, oh, well, is he going to play, is he not going to play? Well, and obviously this is a way different situation, but he brought that up, and it's a good point. Like, you know, if Brady takes more time in the decisions and says, you know what, maybe I'm going to step back at practice, you know, what has separated him always was that he always practiced harder than everyone, and this, that, the other thing. But, I mean, he was an MVP at 41 years old. 40, whatever. Yeah. So it's like he kind of does have a little room to say, you know what? Voluntary works out. I'm going to go on vacation with my family.
Yeah, everyone
has. Okay, yeah. Everyone does. Exactly. So
I'll push back on the Brett Favre comparison a little bit because Brett Favre got shown the door in Green Bay.
Yeah, I mean, that's a much different situation, but just the older guys kind of dictate, all right, you know what, maybe not, I don't know, and it depends on the team if they want to put up with it. Green Bay said, fuck this, we have a great guy, we're going to go with him.
They didn't know he was great back then. One of the underrated parts of that whole thing, Green Bay made the NFC Championship game in 2007. Brett Favre's last game with them was losing the NFC Championship to Eli Manning.
Right, yeah. Well,
I know, right? I always thought he sucked at the end of his tenure there.
Not really. He had like a resurgence in 05, 06 where he started playing good again.
Yeah.
That's what like threw the whole wrench in this formula with Aaron Rodgers. They were like, well, we got to get him into sometime.
God damn it. It went to overtime. We could have faced Brett Favre instead of Michael Strahan and Osiyu Mayora. And
I know. That would have been great. The other thing to come out was Gronk has officially stated that he's going to play.
Yeah.
This year for the Patriots on his Instagram.
After just last week, avoiding all football-related questions and talk.
Yeah, it's
a quick turnaround.
It was a few days before that he made, I'm sure everyone's heard about the press conference where he was...
Motocross
and really made some comments that a lot of people in that situation at Gillette Stadium really didn't like and thought was kind of a slap in the face. I mean, I didn't take it as that bad, but it definitely wasn't a good look by any means.
So what caused the quick about face there? Why did he pull a 180 within a week, which happened to be about, I don't know, 2 days before the draft?
Obviously,
which features more trades than the trade deadline.
Yeah, right, exactly. There's definitely
just
that.
Saying.
I don't know if maybe somebody came up to him and was like, do you know what you just did? And he was probably like, what do you mean? I'm just having fun. I'm Gronk, having fun at motocross. Like, it's voluntary. I don't have to be there. And they're like, everyone hates you on talk radio right now. People are freaking out. He was probably like, oh, God damn it. Like, all right.
Yeah.
It came out like, I've talked to coach. I'm playing. I didn't know that, you know, whatever. He didn't say he didn't know whether or not, but he said he's playing, he's talked to coach. Now, the question is, do you think Belichick still trades his ass after something like that?
Quite possibly. That's the thing. He definitely decreased the chance by saying he's going to play. Definitely decreased the chance.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
By saying, I'm not retiring. I don't know. I didn't even read the post, but if he just said to finish out his contract, you know.
Basically said, I've talked to Bill Belichick, and I'm committed to the Patriots. And playing to my full potential this season, basically. I mean, I really didn't get into any specifics about anything. He just said he's playing. That's that.
Look, he deserves more money than he's making, but that's also the risk you take when you sign an extension 2 years into your career and don't hit the open market. You see what happens to Nate Solder. He hit the open market. He got overpaid.
Right.
That's what happens. If Gronkowski was a free agent this year, he might have seen Nate Solder money.
He would have seen more.
Maybe, yeah. He would have blown the tight end market.
I mean,
out of the
somebody
water.
Would have offered him probably more, whether he took that or not, or you know.
Look, he's the best receiving tight end and the best blocking tight end in the NFL. There's never been anybody like him.
No,
he would be making so much more money than he is now. But he also signed a contract a long time ago. Now, I hope that he gets a little bit of a raise. I don't know if they're going to want to reward this type of behavior.
Right.
And that might be a problem.
Maybe into the season or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean,
he deserves more money than he's making, but he also made that calculation as a younger player,
right?
With an injury
and losing the Super Bowl, especially in the fashion they did, the way it all went down. I mean, it was a rough season. There were a lot of things, you know, a lot of adversity, as they say. More, you know, I can't say more so than the most recent years because the Patriots have seen their handful of gates and sagas and all this crap surrounding the team, which is amazing that they can still be successful. But, you know, it was a tough loss, and you know, some of these guys do need a break. I mean, it's not easy. Belichick always said it's not easy playing for him. Some of the guys have called him, you know, an asshole. It's like, I don't blame these guys for wanting to take 2 months off. Literally. I mean, that's what we're talking about. The Super Bowl's in February. We're now in April, and they're like, you know, am I ready to go back after that stressful loss? Like, I still need time to decompress and think about this shit, you know, and just get away from it and clear my head. So, I don't really blame these guys. I know they're making millions of dollars, so they don't have too many excuses, but still, and they're human.
It's good to know that both of them are coming back this year, though.
Yeah.
Gives a little bit more clarity. Still think there is a possibility that Gronkowski gets traded, however dumb that would be.
Yeah, I just, the one thing about the Gronkowski trade is I don't know, because we don't know, you know, apparently he was looking at retirement this year. I mean, because of the comments that came out, it seems like that could have been a realistic thing. And who is going to want to put so much draft stock into getting a guy where you don't know how long he's going to play?
Yeah.
I mean, you can't trade Gronk for anything less than a first and several other picks.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know who's going to do that.
Yeah, we just saw how difficult it would have been to move Odell Beckham. How we don't know how serious they might have been about dealing him.
Right.
But people were definitely apprehensive. Which
could still happen. That could still happen.
Yeah, but people were hesitant to pull the trigger on trading for a transcendent player in the middle of his prime because they were going to have to pay him big-time dollars afterward. Gronkowski right. wants big-time dollars.
Well, and you don't know how long he's going to even play. I mean, this is a guy that's 28 and has had a dozen or two surgeries.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, is he going to want to continue this? Is it because of the Patriots or is it because he's getting his ass kicked?
Yeah.
He doesn't want to have an off-season surgery every year. I don't blame him.
Yeah, but for now, Brady and Gronkowski, two best Patriots, remain Patriots for the
time. They're in.
The other roster-related change, we signed Ulrich John. And I'm really fighting. Is his name John Ulrich? Because who the hell is named Ulrich John?
I have no idea. I didn't even know we signed him.
It is Ulrich John.
What position is he?
He's a tackle, 6'5", 310, former seventh round pick. Three career starts, bounced around to like two, three different teams.
They're really piling up the tackles here.
Yeah, and that brings me to my next question. Seems like at tackle right now, they don't have a clear-cut path to get a good one.
Right.
Because it costs a high draft pick or a lot of money. And so it seems like they're going quantity over quality right now. And they're just trying to roll as many dice as they can, see if they can get something to come up seven.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're taking a swing at this kid. They brought in a couple other people. And now we find out that Ereck Flowers, the train wreck left tackle of the New York Giants, ninth overall pick in the 2015 draft, is on the trading block.
Right.
He has been horrible, to say the least, for the Giants. But ninth overall pick, I scouted the kid when he was in college. Big guy. He's got pretty good feet.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what's been going on. I don't know why that's the case. He looks really fat, but he looked fat in college, too. He's in the last year of his rookie deal, which means he would have a fifth-year option next year if things worked out. And if he gets traded, I believe the Giants have to pick up his signing bonus. So it would only be about $2.5 million for whoever trades for him. Now, I don't know if that becomes fully guaranteed when you complete the trade. I'm not sure if you cut him and he still gets the money from you.
Mm-hmm.
But the deal is with that. I couldn't find the details on that. But they're talking about a sixth or seventh round pick for a guy who is 23, 24 years old and was a first round pick 3 years ago.
Sixth or seventh.
That's how bad they want him out.
Was he like real bad in the locker room too, or just sucked?
He is not attending the offseason program right now, so they don't have a real belief in him. Seems like they're not on good terms between the organization and it.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah, why not? I mean,
if he's not an asshole, you know, if he's not going to be a dick when he shows up, then
a sixth-round pick, you could just cut him. Who cares?
Yeah, that's the $1 million. I don't know if it's guaranteed or not. I know, right? It seems like a good opportunity to take a chance. Guy's got all the talent in the world. We got fucking no one at left tackle.
No one.
We got Antonio Garcia. We're hoping the guy that had blood clots a year ago is able to play.
Literally.
That's our best option. Yeah. Take a swing. We got sixth-round picks. We got seventh-round picks.
I don't mind it.
Send one of them. Make a friend with the Giants. You know, hey, we're on good terms, right? We took your problem case.
Yeah. Gave you what you wanted to.
Yeah, I expect draft day help to move up sometime. I don't know. I thought that was a reasonable option as long as he's not.
I'd take that. Yeah, exactly. I'd take a chance.
The other thing I was thinking, I was wondering how many, because we always see left tackles is like you got to take them in the top of the first round. Like they all go fast. There's not that many people that can do it. So I looked on Pro Football Focus. Out of the top 30 rated tackles,
mm-hmm.
Now, this is left tackles and right tackle, 17 of them were not first round picks. It's like 60% of the top 30.
Doesn't surprise me.
Right?
Yeah.
That's a good sign.
Yeah. Look at all of our best left tackles we've gotten.
Nate Solder's a first round pick.
Nate Solder, but Matt Light, 10-year veteran, second round pick. Sebastian Vollmer, serious good veteran, second round pick. Marcus Cannon, what was he, a second or third?
Fifth round pick.
He was a fifth?
Fifth round pick.
Yeah. So,
nailed it.
There you go. I mean,
they're there. People are there. You know, David
Sebastian Vollmer wasn't even on any draft. Like, he wasn't in any draft magazine. He wasn't in any draft scouting report. He was nowhere to be found.
Who? Yeah, that's what it was like on draft day.
Literally.
Turned out pretty well.
He's a great right tackle.
So, yeah, it doesn't have to be a first-round pick, although I would like to go through and see other positions to compare to that. Be like, how many receivers were first-round picks?
It's probably all within 10% of that.
I feel like left tackle are you know, it's like I was looking up the we're a day away from the draft. It's tomorrow. It's the, by the time you guys listen to it, it might have already happened. I was looking back at the number one overall pick for the last 20 years. It's only been quarterback, left tackle, defensive end. That's it.
Yeah.
No safeties, no cornerbacks, linebackers, D tackles, receiver, running back, tight end. Nobody. Only those three positions. How is that possible that every single year there's been a guy worthy of the number one overall pick? I'll tell you how. It hasn't been right.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. Eric Fisher, Courtney Brown, some of these people, Tim Couch, these guys don't belong.
Well, RG3, look what happened to him. He even looked like a great pick at the time. Ah, Andrew Luck. There you go. Another example.
Yeah, so I was just wondering if left tackle was top heavy. But what we find, that you can find these guys, third round, fourth round, undrafted. Jason Peters, undrafted. Donald Penn, undrafted. This is Jeremy Parnell, undrafted. Do you know Cam Fleming was the highest rated tackle on the Patriots last year?
What do you mean highest rated?
According to Pro Football Focus, he's the highest rated tackle on the Patriots. He was ahead of Marcus Cannon. He was ahead of Nate Solder.
Really?
Way ahead of LaAdrian Waddle.
Why the hell did we bring LaAdrian back over him?
Well, because the Cowboys wanted him and not Waddle. We didn't want to pay him.
What do you get paid?
I don't remember.
A lot.
They want him to play right tackle for them. They want him to start. See how that works out. And the other thing with Eric Flowers, you put him together with the best offensive line coach in football.
Yeah, exactly.
See what happens.
Scar can turn nobody's into somebody's real quick. So
see what happened. So, I also needed to clarify. Last time we talked, I mentioned how coaches and players are not allowed to talk to each other during the off season.
Yes.
They're not allowed to talk about football.
No.
In the off season. But okay. I don't know if how that. Are you going to play football next year? That sounds like a football question.
Sounds like it.
Yeah. So they're not allowed to talk football with the players until the start of the offseason, which happened on April 16th this year.
Okay.
That was the start of the offseason. And I don't know if the last day they can talk to them is like the last day of the league year previously or the last game day or however that worked previously. But yeah, the guys that go to the facility, they're working out in the weight room next to the strength and conditioning coach, can't talk to that guy about their conditioning. He's right there. He's the one in charge. He gave them their off-season program to follow. Can't ask a question.
Yeah, that sounds stupid. You can't talk to them. Yeah.
Oh. Hugh Jackson was talking about it. He goes, yeah, I go through the locker room and I don't speak to anybody. I don't even say hi because I don't want that to lead one thing. Then they ask a question and I have to walk away because it's out of line. And then the league finds out about it and we got talking gate. Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
So I just wanted to clarify that. Yeah, we got the draft tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
Do you got any final thoughts about it?
Not really.
Yeah?
More so, I think we should stock up on linebacker. We were talking about that, but
nice.
I mean, looking at our linebacker and DN depth, like you can take Van Noy and put him at DN. That's fine.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
So, linebacker.
Linebacker would be great. I would love to get one at 31. Rashawn Evans, I hear you. All right, people, we have a special treat for you. We have a discussion with draft enthusiast Kevin Morrison coming up.
Mm-hmm.
And through the magical powers of software, it'll only take a second for you guys to hear it. So we'll be right back with that interview. I just want to tell you real quick, this year's draft guide is up at NFLDraftHead.com. That you can find that in the show notes.
Mm-hmm. And,
thank you guys for checking that out and listening in. And happy drafting.
There you go. Enjoy the special. I'll be stepping out.
Yep,
and
yep.
Sean will be drafting the main event.
Drafting away. All right. Thanks, y'all.
Adios.
Here we go. All right. I am here with fellow draft enthusiast, Kevin Morrison. Kevin, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Of course, man. Thanks for coming on. So we've been talking draft for many years.
Yeah.
Going back. And I just wanted to people are talking about quarterbacks incessantly, and we'll get to that. But I just wanted to, this is like the best linebacker class I've ever.
Yeah, you know, you have big size, speed. I mean, it's deep. It's pretty deep too.
It's like whatever you're looking for. The way I wrote it up was, if you want your freak, if you want that Jamie Collins dude, you can get one of those. Or if you want like a Bobby Wagner, some guy that's going to tell everybody where to be and is going to clean up everyone's mistakes, that guy's there too.
Roquan.
Yeah, Roquan. All right, Roquan.
That's the guy. He's the Bobby Wagner type.
I know, right? Everybody's talking about Tremaine Edmonds or Roquan Smith. Those are like the two top guys.
Tremaine is young. I didn't realize how young he is. 19.
Still, he's going to get drafted at 19.
I know. That's insane. That hasn't happened since, what, 06?
Is that Amobi Okoye? Is that who I'm remembering?
Yeah.
That worked out, huh?
I know, right? I honestly thought he was the guy, because who goes into college
at, like, 17? You know,
yeah, at 16, 17.
Yeah.
And like, exactly. Literally, would he graduate early too?
Yeah, he definitely graduated. Tremaine Edmonds, people are still talking about he could get taller. That's how young he is. They're like, he could still have a growth spurt.
The thing is, like, he's an old school kind of a hybrid. He's an old school guy, meaning like he's big. You're talking like 6'5", what, 260, 250?
Yeah.
He doesn't look like stocky or anything, but he's a big guy. He reminds me a little bit, well, not speed, but just looking at his physical traits.
Yeah.
He kind of reminds me of Dante Hightower, because Hightower is very big.
He's a big dude. Hightower is more of a downhill guy.
Yeah, yeah.
Hightower lays the boom. Tremaine Edmonds moves really well laterally for a guy that's got that type of length.
Size, like, Jesus. I don't really have too many negatives on the guy, honestly, if we want to start there. Like, the guy has great size. Honestly, what did he run, like, 4.6, 4.5?
4.54.
Jesus. The only negative I really have on Tremaine is he's extremely raw, but that's what you're going to get at 19.
I know.
But, like, the guy is everywhere. He's not like the Luke Kuechly type, but he's still getting the tackles. He's still around the ball at all times. Which,
yeah, he'll miss some assignments. He'll get fooled a little bit with misdirection.
Yeah, that's my other thing too with him. Like he can get fooled really quick. Not the smartest. He doesn't read things very well, but obviously that comes with good coaching and years, like 2-3 years away from like having everything, being like the complete inside guy.
Yeah, everybody knows that. The reason that he's not getting picked in the top 15 because of what he's going to do his rookie year.
Yeah.
He's getting picked in the top 15 because there's no one that you don't see people like this.
Yeah.
Especially at linebacker.
I know.
When I watched him play, I was like, how is this kid not a defensive end? How is he not rushing the passer every play?
So that's the thing I think. I think hopefully he's like versatile. He's not, hasn't shown versatility. Well, he has, but like to switch positions. But I think that could be a thing where he can, you know, switch positions. Who's the guy in the Chargers? Switches
Melvin
positions.
Ingram.
Yeah, he reminds me of Melvin Ingram a little bit. Well, size wise, like, well, he's bigger than Melvin Ingram,
he's nice and tall.
Yeah, nice and tall.
It looks like Edmund racked up 10 sacks in his college career, though he got 5.5 last year. It's fine. If you're a middle linebacker getting 6 sacks, you're doing great.
Oh, yeah. You're doing amazing. That's usually an outside thing, of course. The other knock against him as well, he doesn't cover that well. Even tight ends. Like, I don't really think he covers tight ends too well, but the dude's he's going to improve upon everything. Speed's there. Like I said, it's a part of, like, reading things, covering, taking right angles. I don't think he's there yet, but he's got
all the tools. He's got all the tools.
He's going to chase. He might take a few wrong steps, but yeah.
He'll figure it out with good coaching. He's got long arms too. He's built exactly the same as the tight ends, and he's going to be more athletic than basically all.
Agreed.
I think he's going to figure it out. And then you see like his the flip side of that coin is Roquan Smith, who's only 6'1", 235, but he does like everything you could possibly want. He's just short.
Yeah, Roquan Smith he's the guy. He's the Bobby Wagner type guy. He's strong in the weight room. Like, this dude's top heavy, just a beast. Like, absolute beast.
Yeah, the way I described it was he can get to anywhere on the field he wants to go.
Yeah.
He's 4.51 in the 40. Another guy that's great laterally. He reads the offense incredibly well. He knows exactly what he's looking at when he shows up there. He's that guy that's calling out all the offensive plays before they happen.
Yeah, of course. Like, oh my God. And this guy hits hard. He hits so hard. Like, if you watch it and like
you just
every
go down
game,
the YouTube hole watching him destroy people.
Lays wood.
So who do you got number one? I got them neck and neck, but I got Roquan Smith.
Yeah, no, I have Tremaine a little bit ahead of him only because the potential. I think Roquan might kind of peak out, but like I said, he has all the physical tools. Like, he's extremely fast. Like I said, he hits hard and he doesn't really miss tackles. Like, he's everywhere. He's more so the Luke Kuechly type. Like, you see at the end of the game, like, this dude, like, what, 15 tackles? Like, 14?
Yeah.
It's like,
he makes them on third down, too. He makes them on.
Yeah. I wish the Patriots can get him. We definitely need linebacker help, but he won't slip to us.
So bad. I want that dude. But it's like, if he gets out of the top six, then somebody's getting this. If you get a player like that, even at like nine, I think Kuechly, a guy like that at nine, completely transforms your defense.
Yeah.
Does a total 180 for that side of the ball. That's one, why I have Roquan a little bit.
The one negative I did have on him is I think he gets easily blocked by tight ends. Like, that probably comes with his size, his height. He's really like 5'11", like fucking dominating.
He measured at 6'1 at the combine.
Did he really?
Yeah, it's the same scale they use on everybody.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Okay, let me
pull it up. He looks a lot shorter. Yeah.
He does. Doesn't he look short? I think it's because he's so wide.
He's so wide. He's so, like I said, a weight room warrior. Mm-hmm. Wait. So, yeah. I have a slight lower draft grade on him, but, yeah, not bad. Definitely not bad at all.
And then, so you got these two studs right up top, and then behind them, you still have guys that are capable of making the Pro Bowl. Like, Rashawn Evans.
He
comes in that lineage of Alabama standouts. And
absolute amazing.
And somehow you might be able to get him like 25 or later, possibly.
Yeah. And the thing
this is a guy that could fall to the Patriots.
I hope he does. He's kind of like a Belichick guy in a way. He reminds me of a typical like Alabama linebacker. I mean, everything where it comes to being a smart player, like he is, he's that guy. Like I said, he reads plays very well. Like, he takes good cuts. Like, he's not running foolishly around the field at all. Like he's there. Wherever the ball is, he's there. Like,
he was a one-year starter, and he's still got that type of awareness.
I know. Just makes you wonder what happens in those Alabama practices. Like, jeez.
Oh, my God. It was on TV the other day. I tuned in. I was like, shit, I'm going to see some five stars go square off.
Like, Jesus.
Yeah. And people sit there and think, oh, Rashawn Evans, he couldn't be that good. He didn't start until his junior year. He was a five-star recruit. He was right at the top of the heap. They're just stacked.
Yeah, no, especially at the linebacker and safety position, which we'll get to a little bit later. But yeah, I don't really have any really negatives on Roquan. The only thing I did have a negative on is he's a little bit slower. And he doesn't look that slow in game film, but like, I think he didn't run a fast 40. I think his 40 was a little bit slower.
Yeah, he didn't run at the combine. That was the thing. And all those pro day 40 times are always inflated.
Yeah.
So, or deflated, actually. They're usually lower than they are at the combine with the computer stopwatch. And my problem with Rashawn Evans was really just kind of lack of playing time, really.
Yeah.
He might be the best pass rusher of these linebackers. He had 6 sacks last year, and you could see him lighting people up.
Yeah, yeah. I agree.
He's a great player. And then the fourth guy that I scouted at linebacker was this dude, Leighton Vander Esch, who needs a nickname more than anybody. Vander Esch. Did you see any of him play at Boise State?
Yes. Okay. He's a youngster too. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Don't really have too much film. Obviously, he just played last year. But yeah, big dude. He reminds me like size-wise, he reminds me of Takiyo Spikes. Like, he has no neck. He has no neck.
He wears that Brian Cox gigantic neck brace. I love that thing.
They got to bring that back.
Yeah, it's sweet.
Those things are awesome.
The only issue is I heard that it's because he's got some health issues with his neck.
Oh, really? Oh, yikes. Yeah.
So yeah. There you go. Neck issues, never a good thing, especially for a linebacker.
He's a big dude, too. Really big.
I know. He's got almost the same measurables as Tremaine Edmonds. He's 6'4", 256, ran a 4.65. So he's he's another freak athlete. Once again, why aren't you rushing off the edge? But
yeah,
what he does.
What team would you like to see him with?
Oh God, I don't know. He seems like he's got a ton of attitude. I was reading the story about when he was playing in the Las Vegas Bowl this year, Boise State was, and his whole family drove down from Montana, I believe is where he's from. They rented a bus. They like put decals, like fat heads of him on the side of the bus. And it's like the Gronkowski family West. And
they
drove down there and they had a big party and he's like freaking out on the field and everything. I want to see him go to some party place.
Yeah. So
I don't know where that is right now. I don't know if the Vikings want to bring back the love boat. I don't know. Maybe the Rams. The Rams could use somebody like that at linebacker.
Oh, they definitely could, especially with the loss. That inside linebacker?
Yeah, they traded away Alec Ogletree, their best line. Yeah. So, yeah, maybe the Rams. That seems like a good fit. L.A. guy, L.A. spotlight.
Yeah. I mean, late first round, second round?
I got him. I gave him a grade mid-first.
Mid-first round.
I'm pretty high on this kid. And a lot of it has to do with will the medical questions be an issue? And he might fall because of that. We see that every year. Like, right, remember Miles Jack fell, like, to the second round?
So far. And you obviously saw what he did last year.
So he's an animal. Like,
He's an animal.
He does stuff nobody else can do, a linebacker. He's that athletic.
Yeah. Miles Jack is athletic. Did he play running back a little bit?
Yeah, I think he got carries at UCLA. God. I know.
I love Miles Jack. He's great.
He's the man.
He was a youngster, too. But the one negative I do have on him, obviously can't cover that well, but... I mean, when you have that type of size, like, you're not really asked to, like, you know, drop back that much. That's more so for that kind of hybrid, like, outside linebacker slash, like, safety guys. But, yeah, don't really have too much negative on him. I didn't really know about the injury stuff, though.
I know. It's kind of going under the radar. They don't want you to know. Affects the draft stock.
Yeah.
I thought he has a pretty high floor. I put his floor around Bernardrick McKinney. Bernardrick McKinney's no joke. He's a good player for the Texans.
Oh, yeah.
So as long as he's healthy, I think he's a good pick for just about anybody.
Yeah, no, definitely agree on that.
Strong-ass safety class. If you could pick one of those guys who would be available for the Patriots, let's say at 23.
Safety?
No, at linebacker.
At linebacker?
I feel like Rashawn Evans makes sense. They like Alabama.
Rashawn Evans does make sense. Plus, obviously, you know, Belichick's relationship with Saban. I would like that a lot. Another guy, just because I missed the speed of Collins so much. I'm going to have to go with Jerome Baker on that. And I think he's definitely going to be way down at outside linebacker. He's strictly kind of outside. Can't really put him inside, but this guy is, like, sneakily, like, really quick. Like, goddamn.
Damn, I haven't seen this kid.
Ohio State?
Ohio State? What's his size?
He's like maybe like 6 foot, like 220, 225. He's a real smart guy. He's a real smaller guy, but like he's kind of like the hybrid guy. He's kind of like a hybrid safety. Like I could see him like, you know, maybe dropping down. Watch some film on him, man. He's
4'5", 3". Yeah. 6'1", 230. All right. I'm definitely checking this dude out.
Yeah, the thing is with him, like he's not really good inside. Like I could see him getting eaten up inside because he doesn't look that big. Like, you know how sometimes you see a guy, you know, 230 and you're like, wow, this dude looks more like 250, but he looks all of like maybe 225, 230-ish. Mm-hmm. But I could see this guy, he can really cover very, very well and he can play the outside and blitz very well. He did have some knee problems, I think. I was seeing that somewhere, but
yeah,
he's a late guy, later guy.
Oh, good. He's definitely got some raw tools. Reminds me a lot of another Ohio State guy, Darren Lee, who went in the first round and was even shorter and lighter.
Was that last year or the year before?
I think that was 2 years.
Yeah, I remember him. He was really fast. Where did he end up? Oh,
the
Jets.
Yeah.
But it'll probably be like. Yeah, Rashawn Evans, he just fits. He's a really smart player, and he reads very well, like reads everything very well, picks it up right away. And I mean, like I said, 1 year, and you're looking that good at such a high level. You're facing, obviously, the premier talent at the college level. So
Yeah, that'd be a sweet fit. Anybody would be happy to have him on the team. All right, let's talk safety for a minute here. Right at the top, we got Derwin James and Minkah Fitzpatrick, and I feel like people are making this into who's better comparison. There's no comparison in my head.
No, you got Derwin. Derwin's so much further ahead. He's a playmaker.
Yes.
And I don't like to say that too often, but he's a freaking playmaker like none other.
Yeah.
And he lays wood. Like,
he drops people. Unbelievable. Derwin James, 6'2", 215.
Completely he can fly. Lays wood.
He's got long-ass arms. As soon as he touches the runner, they're going down. That's it. He wraps up every single person. He does not miss tackle.
And the
In the box. He rushes the passer. He makes plays in the backfield. He can cover the deep half. I don't think covering the deep half is what he's going much of. I think he's going to be man coverage on tight end, slot players, and the running game. Yards after the catch are going to be non-existent when he's...
Yeah, no. And the thing is that I love about him, I wish we can get him so bad. I mean, we don't need a safety, but he's so good in space, which is very rare at the college level.
Angles.
Oh, my God. He's so good in space. Like,
4.47 second 40-yard dash, 40-inch vertical. 40.
40? Wow.
Yeah.
And another thing.
I was going to say, he's like Jamal Adams, but tougher.
And bigger.
And Jamal Adams was like the toughest dude in the draft last year.
Yeah. I love Jamal Adams. You know me.
Yeah.
Even though he's on the Jets, I still love some Jamal Adams. He's great.
He's the one. What's best for him.
Yeah. Another thing is he did come from the knee injury, and you saw him like come back from the knee injury in 2006, and he didn't like really miss a beat. He was able to come from adversity and rehab very well, and obviously you saw the film.
Yeah, quick healer.
Didn't even notice
from that injury in 2006.
Yeah,
yeah. I don't have anything bad to say about him. I love him.
I really can't. I'm looking for negatives, and I don't really have any negatives. Yeah. Oh my God.
I was watching Florida State play, I want to say NC State last year, and it was every play, Derwin James. Look at Derwin James. It was just every play. He doesn't stop. And by all accounts, he's the ultimate leader in that, like, that Ed Reed kind of way.
Yeah, yeah.
It's badass. There's no downside.
No downside. He's a Belichick guy, but, you know, he's an everybody guy, actually.
Yeah.
How early do you think he goes?
I think he's going to go top seven.
Okay.
With the quarterbacks, there could be three or four in the top seven, and that's going to push some exceptional players like Roquan Smith, Derwin James, Bradley Chubb, Quentin Nelson. Like all these, there are these some blue chip players that are going to get pushed closer to 10, maybe even past 10, and those teams are just going to be lapping it up after all the quarterback needy teams are stretching and reaching for these guys with gigantic question marks.
I know.
When they could be picking up an all-pro. Just sit tight and get an all-pro. How about that?
That's how you build your team.
Yeah, exactly. You don't get a chance at Derwin James. Very few teams that get a shot at somebody like that often.
Playmaker. Makes a difference.
All right, we're gushing. Let's. This is not to downgrade Minkah Fitzpatrick, who is a phenomenal prospect in his own right. He just so happens to come out in a class with like one of the best prospects you're ever going to see at safety. Happens to be that way.
Exactly. Like Fitzpatrick's really good. I mean, he's versatile. Like I can see him playing either strong safety, free safety, linebacker. Another thing, I mean, he's aggressive. That's a good and a bad thing for me. When you're at safety, you really can't. I've seen him take a few bad angles and make a few bad plays, and it kind of cost them. Well, not too much. Obviously, it's Alabama. Like, I won a national freaking championship again.
Every other year, yeah.
But, just outside of making, you know, being a little bit overly aggressive at times, which, you know, always the thing that you want. But outside of that, I don't really have too many negatives. But, you know, you have Derwin James ahead of you. Like, it's no question there.
Yeah, that's just how it works out. Mink is a solid player. He's a little bit smaller. Mostly he's just leaner.
Yeah.
And both of them aren't going to be like deep half coverage guys. They're going to be early downs in the box, third down. They're going to be probably man coverage, I would think, both of them. Some people even list Minkah as a cornerback, which I don't see that. He took like 10 snaps a cornerback last year. Like, that's not where he's going to be.
Yeah.
I get worried about players coming out of that. What do they call that position in the Alabama defense? Like the elephant position or the star position? That guy where like the other 10 guys do their job and then he just freestyles?
Yeah.
That was the position he played. And I'm like, oh, man, you were surrounded by unbelievable talent and they just let you do whatever you want. Obviously, you made some things happen.
Yeah. He reminds me a little bit of Peppers.
Oh, Jabril.
A little bit of him. Obviously, he's a lot smaller, but weight-wise, but same kind of guy in a way.
Not nearly as cocky.
No. Oh, my.
Jabril was all about a little Jabril.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was good stuff. I actually have one more first-round safety. I got this kid, Justin Stanton.
Oh, yeah. Brothers in the NFL, man.
Well, kind of. He hasn't been signed yet.
He hasn't been signed yet, but, you know.
First round pick from the Niners a few years ago. And Justin Reed he's 6'1", 204, ran a 4.4 flat. You could see he's got unbelievable burst. He gets there in a hurry. And he has some lapses in coverage, but you're going to see that in college. You're just going to see it.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's obviously got the bloodlines, clearly has the athleticism. He was a playmaker in college, had five interceptions last season. And I don't really know what else to say about him. He went to Stanford. He's got to be smart, right?
Yeah. I mean, the thing is with him, I don't really see him get burned. I've never really seen him get burned. Have you?
No. Not really. I've seen him get lost in zone coverage.
Yes.
But not in man coverage. Man coverage has been fine.
Yeah, man coverage, you can see the speed there. Obviously, really athletic. I watched a lot of tape on him. I forget what game I did watch the other day with him. But, I think he takes great angles when he's playing like man-to-man. He just has two other guys that are way better than him.
Do you see him in the first round?
He creeps
in there?
I want to say early second.
Yeah.
I have seen a few mocks where he is late first, like literally 31, 32. So, never know.
Might happen. I think you'd be pretty good getting him at the very end of the first round.
Yeah.
And knowing Belichick, he loves Stanford safeties. Jordan Richards really worked out, huh?
Oh, God.
don't get me. We've bitched about him enough on this podcast.
Oh, man.
All right. So that pretty much covers the defense. I just wanted to real quick get your take on these quarterbacks. I mentioned before that they have question marks. Is there anybody that you feel legitimately good about? I see you got the Baker Mayfield headband going. Is that an indication?
So I got a lot of notes on the quarterbacks.
Here we go. You heard the paper.
Yeah. So, yeah, we can start with Baker Mayfield. We can start with Sam Darnold.
Let's start with your number one guy. Who do you got number one?
So you'll be a little bit surprised. So I have number one, Josh Rosen.
Boom.
He does have a lot of – I just think he has great touch. And, I mean, he does remind me of – I can kind of see Sam Bradford a little bit. Did you say that earlier?
I did bring up Sam Bradford when talking about Josh Rosen.
He kind of does remind me of Sam Bradford. Not the toughest kid. What worries me, he does have a few negatives, like definitely not a great leader at all. But he seems like a really smart player. His one negative, obviously, like every quarterback's negative, who's a pocket passer. When the pressure comes, like obviously not making the best decisions, but you give him a clean pocket for, you know, a few seconds, he's really good. I think he's ready to start like literally day one.
He is by far the most pro ready right now.
Yeah.
Which always boggles my mind when I see him linked to like the Patriots or the Saints. It's like, why would you get the pro ready guy to sit behind the pro? Like, shouldn't he be playing? But
yeah, no.
He on the field, you're right. He looks super smart. He looks like he's in total command. He was a day one starter in college, started all three, did have some injury issues.
I do remember one of his first starts. It was like on maybe like a Friday night in UCLA, and I'm like, who is this kid? And I was like, this kid's actually pretty good.
Oh yeah.
He's really good. He makes great decisions in the red zone, which you can't really say that for all the other quarterbacks. This isn't the best class, like, you know, we've discussed earlier, but, you know, I have him, you know, clear cut number one.
Yeah, dude, are you thinking of the UCLA-Cal game? It was on a Thursday night. I'm bringing
yes,
this up.
Yes, that yes, one. Yes, that one. It was on a at Thursday night. Actually,
I was at that game, and I got to see Josh Rosen play Jared Goff without knowing who either of them were.
Oh, man.
Good stuff.
That's good
Maybe
stuff.
Josh Rosen goes number one overall, and I saw two number one picks.
Maybe.
With
Maybe.
My head in the dirt.
I don't know what Cleveland's going to do, though, you know?
All right, we'll finish with that one, but let's finish these quarterback. So we got Josh Rosen, number one. You're going with the safe pick. I feel like he's the safe one, even though maybe he won't get along with teammates, perhaps. But you could say the same thing for Baker, obviously.
Well, bet. Yeah. Who's your number one?
I got Baker number one a hair ahead of Lamar Jackson, and I'm not comfortable with it. I'm uncomfortable with all these guys. Oddly enough, I think Rosen is the safest guy. And then my number two safest guy. I just think you
really?
Kind of you know what Lamar you know he has strengths. You know that you can like design some Tyrod Taylor as for as much shit as people want to give him has been a decent NFL quarterback. Got his team to the playoffs. He's been fine. And Lamar Jackson can do what Tyrod's doing, but guaranteed better. He's way faster. He's bigger. He can throw better. So you already I feel like. The floor on Lamar Jackson is not that bad. And even if he completely washes out at quarterback, he would be unbelievable as a running back.
Yeah, no. Obviously, the athleticism's right there. The one thing against him is staying healthy. I only say that because you don't really see him get down and slide either. But he's a really, really, really smart quarterback. But the one thing is, if you're not sliding in the NFL and you're not being safe, like... He's not the biggest guy. He's no Cam Newton.
Yeah, I think he's really good at slipping tackles. But yeah, if a team's going to invest $30 million in him, then they're going to tell him, hey, buddy, we don't care about that last yard. Take a seat.
Exactly.
Pretend like you're going to second base and let's move.
Doesn't really have a great deep ball, but you know what? Like, I mean, he's the closest thing to like Michael Vick, like speed-wise. He can throw it deep. There's not much accuracy on that. Which is very tough to do. Like, you can say that about a ton of quarterbacks. There's only a very few quarterbacks that can throw it deep with, you know, on the nose. But he
you
struggles with
that. You can say the same
thing
about Michael Vick.
You can say, exactly. You can say the same thing about Michael Vick. You can say the same thing about pretty much every quarterback in this draft besides Josh Allen. And I'm not that big on Josh Allen, by the way.
So this is the thing that's been perplexing. So we remember Michael Vick went first overall, and it's not like he had some horrible NFL career. He was the first quarterback to win a playoff game at Lambeau Field in his second year. First quarterback to ever do it, and it was in his second season. And he was like revolutionizing the league. He had, according to his own admission, basically no work ethic mentally.
Crazy.
In terms of picking up the game and was still that good. And so you have that direct comparison to Lamar Jackson, and yet people are talking about him in the second round. Mike Mayock said he was going out on a limb saying Lamar Jackson will be a first-round pick. Like, this guy should be a top-five pick.
And the thing is, I respect Mayock. I think Mayock's the best in the business. And the one thing that people don't talk about enough with Lamar is the guy's improved every single year. Consistently, he's gotten better. Even though he didn't win the Heisman, he's improved every single year. And I mean, that's what you want. We wouldn't want anything more than that. Like, that's exactly what you're looking for. No digression.
And he came out of Bobby Petrino's offense, which is the most demanding on the quarterback of any of these guys.
So complex. That's why I say he's a really smart guy.
Yeah, that's so. I don't understand how he's. People talk about him in the second tier of this quarterback group, and it's like. Josh Allen has like 16 career starts or something, 20 career starts at nowhere university. And he's in the conversation over this freak who won the Heisman and was uber successful in a complicated system against the best the country had to offer.
Yeah. No.
Almost ran out of oxygen making that point.
It's tough. You'll see him overthrow some. He didn't have the best receivers. People don't mention that enough. Like, he didn't miss a lot of. Literally. Like. And a guy like the complex offense is like what I love. Like, that's the thing that people don't talk about enough. Like you alluded to, like it's hard to pick that up. Like, you have a lot of pro quarterbacks that struggled and couldn't make it because they couldn't pick it up.
Yeah. Happens all the time.
So
Marcus Mariota is in the process of having that happen to him.
Yeah.
Oh, you heard it here. Okay. You didn't mention who was your number two guy.
So my number two guy,
At QB?
I want to say it's really tough. It's really tough because it's not Allen. I'd probably say Lamar Jackson. I mean, like the guy has everything. One thing he's missing, not being smart, not putting on size. He can put on size. He can get smarter with throwing that deep ball and getting down. But outside of that, like, everything's there. And, I mean, he's a pass-first guy regardless.
He is, and people don't get that. There was some statistic I saw that, like, 75% of his runs were designed runs. So it's not like he's dropping back and scrambling every time. They're trying to win games there. He was the best player in the team. They're trying to get the ball in his hands as much as possible.
Seriously.
Yeah. Ugh, it's frustrating when people don't look into anything. So it sounds like we're both on the same board with Josh Allen, that we just look at him like, yeah, it's remarkable that a guy that big can throw the ball like that, but where's the consistency?
I know. Yeah. So let's go to Sam Darnold. What are your thoughts on him?
Oh, man. This was like the shortest write-up I did. I saw him play. Well, we probably all saw the Rose Bowl 2 years ago against Penn State.
Yeah.
That was the game. I didn't get my jaw off the floor for like 3 days after that. I saw Saquon Barkley for the first time.
Oh, my God.
Darnold was throwing dimes. And so that was the introduction. I was like, oh, I believe this guy could be a round pick or a number one overall pick in the future. And then last year, it fell apart. 13 interceptions, 11 fumbles. Every time I watched him play, he was overwhelmed. Whenever there is pressure, he doesn't handle it. And that's, in my point of view, if you don't handle the pressure well, that's what makes you a bust. That's the number one bust maker.
Yeah.
It just doesn't seem like he handles it well.
I'll disagree with the under pressure. Because, sure. I mean, I do feel like he throws, like, one of the best balls on the run. And I'll, like, even put Lamar Jackson, he's above Lamar Jackson in that aspect. Mm-hmm. Like, the guy can throw the ball on the run like anybody else. He is overly aggressive, and he does try to fit it in. That kind of goes in a little bit of bad decision making or being like overly cocky. Like, that drove me nuts with him. But I mean, I do think he's a leader. Like, you saw what he did in the Rose Bowl. Like, that game, I remember just tuning into that game. It was like, what was it, New Year's Eve?
Yeah.
Or no, New Year's Day. And like, just turning on that game, and I was just like intrigued. It started at like 6 or something, and I watched it all the way through, and I was like, wow, like this game is insane.
Yeah. This is one of the best games I've ever seen. And he was great in it. He was really great. And so, you know, he has that potential. He can be a really good player.
Yeah.
I look at him and I'm like, he fits that pattern in my head of a guy that gets overhyped because he went to USC. He's 6'3". He's 220. He's got a strong arm. He's got some highlight reel plays. He's got name cachet. I don't see it.
He's a great.
I don't know why.
No, I don't see it either. And I mean, UFC quarterbacks, I mean, as you know, being in LA, you know, being in Hollywood, you know, they're always being drafted early, you know.
Nice, you know, track record too. Leinert, Mark Sanchez, John David Booty.
John David
Palmer
Booty.
The Bengals.
John David, man. He never, sucks.
Cody
never.
Kessler worked out. Yeah, that's a tough track. I didn't even put that together.
The one thing is, he does miss a lot of receivers. Like, just going back, and I looked at some film on him today even, and I'm like, what the hell? Like, it like kind of pisses me off at times. I'm like, dude, like, what the hell are you doing? Like,
yeah.
Oh, it's really frustrating. I feel like he's overly aggressive to cost his team, like, certain games. Like, he's not a game manager, which is obviously a positive, but like, he can definitely cost his, he's a gambler, basically. Yeah.
Like, he was trying to push for that number one pick. He was trying to prove everybody that he's the guy. He actually had a 4% decrease in completion from his sophomore to junior year, from 67 down to 63. And another stat that came from Pro Football Focus, they have this adjusted completion percentage, which takes out throwaways when you throw it out of bounds, or drop passes, or like spike when you spike the ball or something. They take out those things and they just focus on your passing. And Lamar Jackson actually has a better completion percentage than Sam Darnold does, adjusted completion percentage.
Wow.
Yeah, because that's how bad Lamar Jackson's receivers were. They were dropping passes left and right.
That's crazy. I didn't know they had that stat out there.
Yeah, it's badass.
That's pretty sick. Awesome. Let's go to some. You want to go Josh Allen, or you want to go Baker?
Let's talk Josh Allen real quick, because Baker's a handful.
Baker is a handful. I agree.
Josh Allen comes out of lowly Wyoming after, you got to love his story, though. Doesn't get a D1 offer anywhere. Goes to junior college or community college.
And yeah, I think he went to JUCO, yeah.
JUCO, and then he works his way into getting a scholarship at Wyoming, which is one of the lowest rated programs in the country, one program. And then just kind of starts showcasing his skills. And he's 6'5", he's 240, he can move, he can throw on the run a little bit, and he's just got a cannon. And I feel like people get so hung up whenever they see one of those freakish arm talents, they just get googly-eyed and can't think straight.
Yeah, I have the lowest grade on him. Obviously, rocket arm. Like, he's the one guy in this draft that can, you know, make that difficult long pass. Like, he's an elite passer when you're talking about, you know, a 50-yard pass, like, being on the nose, like, accurate deep passers. But, like, he reminds me of Brett Favre a little bit. Like, Jesus Christ, you're throwing through the receivers. You're going to, like, kill somebody.
I know, right?
Like, it's gonna stop someone's heart. Take it easy. Like, a 5-yard out, you don't have to, like, rocket launch it at the guy. Like, which is...
Yeah, take a little bit off that. That's gonna take a minute for him to learn.
And he's not a good decision maker. And
I don't think so either.
That isn't really talked about enough. He's, like, he's like, noticeably horrible at it. Like,
yeah, that's one of the things that everyone brings up, the completion percentage, and they talk about accuracy, but they don't talk about decision making. He chose to throw it into bad spots often.
Yeah.
And that's how you wind up with a lot of incompletions. That's part of the reason. You could also be inaccurate. You could also have drops or whatever it is, but decision making is a huge part of that.
Yeah, I don't know too much about his weapons, but yeah, he missed a lot of receivers. Obviously, he did have the spectacular, like, back of the end zone, like, 50-yard bombs, which a lot of quarterbacks can't do. But that's not what winning quarterbacks do. Like, I mean, you'll see Brady. Brady doesn't really have a good deep ball, and he's the greatest of all time. Like, obviously.
Now he does. He's got a pretty good one now.
He developed
at the beginning
it.
Of his career. Yeah, yeah. That was the I knock wanna... on him. He can't throw deep.
He wasn't able to throw deep until he was around 30. I'd say like 07.
07 was the first year.
Is when he started throwing deep.
Absolutely.
And it was amazing.
Yeah. But, in his rookie, well, not his first year starting in 2001, David Patton was one of the fastest players in the league. He couldn't throw deep to David Patton. Remember, Troy Brown had a touchdown pass to David Patton on a streak.
Yep.
It's like, that's how limited he was. Sometimes these things develop. You don't have to look at a college quarterback and say, there that is, so we'll put that in the NFL. It'll be exactly the same. Nothing else is going to change, right? There's not better pass rushers or better coverage players or more intricate schemes or anything like that. No, it's just going to look like that, right? It's going to look like the highlight. People are too. I misspoke before. Josh Allen had 25 career starts in college.
Okay.
Still, but like conversely, Baker Mayfield had over 40, well over 40 if you count in the Texas Tech times. One of the things for Josh Allen that I think is important is when he did play top-notch Division I schools, Iowa, Oregon, he fell on his face. Against Iowa, he was averaging 4.3 yards per attempt, 2 interceptions, no touchdowns. Against Oregon, went 9 for 24 for 64 yards.
Wow.
1 interception, no touchdowns. Yeah. A lot of that has to do with what's around him, but that's you got to perform. He's not performing right there.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I have him in the third round.
Yeah, no, I don't have a high grade. He's my lowest grade. I have him, like, literally a hair above Mason Rudolph.
Yeah,
that's like, a good one. I don't really – I'm not seeing it, but I can guarantee Cleveland's going to draft him number 1 overall or maybe number 4.
I think so, too.
I don't get it, and everybody's in love with him, and I just don't see it. Yes, he's fucking huge, and he can throw deep, but that's not the NFL, especially today.
Yeah. You have to, there's more to it than that. And speaking of more to it, Baker Mayfield does about everything else that Josh Allen doesn't do.
Yes, he does.
Shorter guy, scrambles around, throws very well on the run, can reset himself. He's pretty accurate. I think his adjusted completion percentage was like 80%, and his regular completion percentage was like 70.
Doesn't mess.
I know, right? My concerns, the off-field stuff and how he's going to relate to his teammates is one thing. My other, just this nagging pit in my stomach about him is all I watched him play. He was my favorite player in college football for the last couple of years.
Yeah.
Right up there with Lamar Jackson. Just they were so much fun to watch. That offense was explosive. And he would sit back there and nobody would be near him. There would be no rush whatsoever. You got big fat Orlando Brown on the left side that nobody can even run around, never mind run through. And he would just have forever, and then some Dede Westbrook or Sterling Shepard or some other freak athlete would spring loose deep and, oh, ipso facto touchdown. And it looked too easy.
Great comparison, Russell Wilson.
Yeah.
He reminds me of Russell Wilson, kind of. The guy always is looking to pass. And it reminded me of the Russell Wilson game against Arizona, Thursday night game, where he threw it to Doug Baldwin. And it was like a reverse. He spinned around, and like that is Baker Mayfield, basically.
I remember that play, yeah.
Oh, man. Like, I do like Baker. I do like him. It's just the off-the-field stuff is a little bit – it's a red flag to me just because, you know, you give the guy money. You give him, you know, the spotlight's going to be on him that much more. You're basically the face of a billion-dollar franchise wherever you go. So it kind of his ego might get a little bit too big, but I don't really have my one, I guess, negative on him. I think he'll take a lot of sacks in the NFL, and kind of the second thing is he doesn't throw – he underthrows receivers at times. Like, he doesn't throw a great deep ball, but obviously we talked about that. It's the NFL. You don't really need that in order to be successful.
Yeah. I think he has enough arm strength. I don't think it's going to be a physical limitation. That might just be an adjustment he's got to make. Yeah, my biggest concern is the on the field, is that he was surrounded by such a great scheme and so much talent in a Big 12 that had... Does anyone play defense in the Big 12? I haven't seen it.
Yeah, no.
But then you watch him play Georgia, and he put up like 45 points against Georgia, even though I have problems with his game, with what he did in that game. I thought he missed opportunities, especially on the last drive in the fourth quarter.
Agreed.
He's a tough one. He's just a tough cookie. And the off-the-field stuff, one of the things that keeps getting washed over, I think a little bit too much, is that he walked on twice and won the starting job at both places immediately. He did not sit on the bench. He won both starting jobs right off the bat as a walk-on. It's a stud.
Yeah, nobody even talked about that. I don't know too much about that, but that sounds insane. That's
twice.
Yeah.
I heard somebody talking about it. They go, they're almost positive he is the first player to ever be a walk-on freshman first game starting quarterback in Division I history ever.
Really?
Yeah, that's what they said. They're almost sure. This is one of the college football analysts on ESPN. Now, I don't know how I would possibly double check that stat. All I'm going to say is it's really goddamn rare and pretty impressive.
Yeah, and agreed.
To then turn that around 2 years later, well, he finished the year at Texas Tech, transfers to Oklahoma, sits out a year for, you know, that's how the rules of the NCAA work.
Yeah.
And then the third year, he goes into training camp with Oklahoma, beats out Trevor Knight, who took them to the Peach Bowl. Trevor Knight had to transfer to Texas A&M to get any play, and he's been a two-year starter there. It's not like he was some chump.
Yeah. No,
stole his job as a walk-on. What an animal.
Baker's,
I love that.
He's definitely going to start somewhere. It's just where? Where?
Jets.
I don't know.
There's a lot of chatter right now about him to the Browns. A lot of chatter.
I do see him. I don't see him in the Browns. I see him on the Jets. I don't like what he did to the Chargers.
What did he do to the Chargers?
He basically, like, they gave him, like, a playbook, or they gave him, like, some info to, like, study up on, and he was like, I'm not going to make it to you. Which might be true, but then again, teams trade up all the time. You never know. All the time. You never know.
All three quarterbacks that won the first round last year were trade up. All three.
That's right. That's right.
Silly move, Baker. You could have wound up in L.A. Ugh.
I know.
He's gonna be
stuck. That might be dangerous.
He might go to Buffalo now. He might be stuck in the middle of nowhere.
Oh, man.
You fucked up, buddy. Okay, let's just finish up real quick. The Browns, number one and number four. Who is their dream scenario?
Who do I think they should take? Or
let's start with who you think they will.
Yeah, I think they're gonna go Josh Allen. They really love him, but I think it's a horrible decision.
Yeah, I completely agree.
Yeah, I either see that or Sam Darnold. Yeah,
I think they're gonna go Josh Allen. Decision,
but yeah,
I think they know somebody likes Baker Mayfield, and so they're trying to float that. I don't know who's buying that. And then at four, who do they turn around with if Saquon's on the board?
You can't pass Saquon up. I think Saquon is – he does it all. He does it all, man. I am in love with Saquon. He is amazing.
Yeah, you came up with the LaDainian Tomlinson comparison, and I could not be more on board.
Yeah. The one negative, and it's a very minor negative, he tried to do a little bit too much at Penn State, but – and you'd see that. You'd see a lot of negative yards of him trying to, like, make plays and be that playmaker. And obviously it doesn't work all the time, and it's probably not going to work in the NFL because, you know, closing speed, guys are really fast and really athletic. But besides that, like, the guy can do it all. He can catch. Like, yeah. Oh my God.
I know. With a prospect like that, you end up just like – I remember this with Myles Garrett. I was like, you know, sometimes he doesn't try as hard as he could. It was like that was my knock on him. Sometimes he doesn't try that hard.
It's really tough to find any holes in the guy.
Yeah, and plus, according to everybody, he is like a number one person. He's somebody.
Yeah, he's definitely a cornerstone to a franchise turning around.
Well, can't say thank you enough for being on the show.
Of course, man.
Giving us your takes.
Thanks for having me, man. I love doing things like this, man. Whenever I get invited, you know, it's an honor.
Draft season, man. Appreciate it. All right, man. Thank you to Kevin Morrison, draft enthusiast.
Thanks, guys.